Welcome to the teleconference of results of pay corresponding to the third quarter of 2024. My name is Natalia, and I'll be your operator for today's call. Now, all of the attendees are in silent mode. If you have any questions, please use the web's platform. These will be answered at the end of this session. Please keep in mind that this teleconference is being recorded. As of now, let's begin the conference of results and give the floor to Mr. Daniel Torres, the Director of Investor Relations and Treasury of Pay Asset Management. Good day, everyone. It's a pleasure to greet you. Today, we are with Jairo Corrales, CEO of Pay Asset Management, and Andrés Esquivel, who leads the commercial management of the vehicle. Before we begin our teleconference of results, our CEO would like to talk to you, our investors. Go ahead, Jairo.
Thank you, Daniel. Good morning, dear investors. Before we begin our quarterly reports that we usually make through these calls, I'd like to take this moment to make a tribute to Andrés Felipe Ruiz, who died in August, several days after the call we had with all of you. It's important to remember that Andrés Felipe worked with us for more than 6 years as the CFO, and this time, the company and the vehicle achieved major milestones. Andrés Felipe stood out for his drive, for his commitment, and how he was always serving the people and the audiences with which he related. It's been for us a very, very sad moment, but it's also something that really fills us with pride and courage and force to move on. We are aware of his legacy, and with his drive, we want to meet next year's the goals that we have set forth. So I'd like to also greet his family and his direct team at Pay Asset Management, with whom we worked for more than 6 years. Thank you.
Thank you, Jairo. In today's talk, we will be analyzing the results of the period in terms of the progress made of the strategy, the management of the portfolio commercially and financially, moving on to the evolution of the capital market, and ending with our usual Q&A session. So let's give again the floor to our CEO, Jairo Corrales.
Thank you, Daniel.
As usual, we love to begin these meetings providing a summary of the developments of the strategy of the most relevant topics that have to do with the vehicle and its investors. Today, we have several topics that we'd like to share with you. First, the diversification of investments. This is very relevant. We know that investors have in mind always the topic of profitability, but also liquidity. As you know, in May, we were included in one of the most important index, the MSCI Colcap. Initially, we ranked 10th, but in the rebalance made in September, we ranked 8th. Today, we have a weighted within this of 3.2%. It's important to say that this is being reviewed regularly and that the rebalance next one will be in November. It's important to say that as a consequence of including Pay in the index, today we have international investors. In May, we had the entrance of BlackRock in our investors' portfolio today. Within the total equity of the vehicle, internationals own 6.5%. This is very relevant because it grants, as we've said, liquidity to the certificates because it creates an expansion of our investors as well. It's also important to tell you that in October, we made a non-deal roadshow in the city of Santiago in Chile. There, we visited more than nine investors, seven asset managers, and two market brokers. This is done with the purpose to get to know the vehicle, not the purpose that's transactional, but in the future, we may incorporate these types of investors to our base. As to capital structure, it's worth mentioning two major things. One, on November 7, meaning this week, we will have a maturity of the bonds that we issued in 2018 for 122 billion pesos. These bonds
were issued on a 5-year term, and right now we're substituting this liability with a bank debt with the same amount of $122 billion, but with a term of 8 years. As to the participatives, in the past weeks, we've made several visits, also in a non-deal roadshow with local investors currently pay to make an issuance next year. We've received from them the feedback to reincorporate this in this eventual transaction, which we'll see as a great mechanism to gain resources to decrease the loan-to-value of the vehicle, which today is at 35%, and with an operation that we could estimate at $500 billion and could drop to a bit less than 25%. Also, as we've said in the past talks, one of the purposes of the manager is to study very carefully the topic of disinvestments. So we can tell you that we're about to close a third disinvestment this year. This way, we would reach a total amount of disinvestments close to $90 billion. It's important to say that this last transaction is about to be formalized and should end with the sales price that would give way for pay a profit close to 33% compared to the book value. This is a very important message because it validates that the appraisals in which our assets are registered are correct values and even could be even below. This demonstration of the capabilities of the real estate at manager are very important and framed within the optimization strategy of our portfolio, which not only includes its investments, but also reconversions and redevelopments. A very positive news commercially has to do with the Atrio building. It's an offices building set in Bogota in the intersection of Avenida Caracas and Avenida 26. It's one of the emblematic buildings of offices in Colombia, but unfortunately, we started to sell it in the middle of the pandemic. This delayed the placement process, but today we can share with you the good news that we closed the business with a British company that took 8,000 square meters on a long-term contract. This is for more than 92,000 pesos per square meter. And lastly, looking at this summary, we have to remember that on November 18th, we will make the last delivery of distributable or dividend yields for a sum above 45 billion pesos. This will allow us throughout the year to have dividend yields above 136 billion pesos. Remember, last year, we were hurt by this indicator because of interest rates. But this same value of the dividend yield was at 63 billion, meaning for this year, we've doubled it. And if we calculate this over the equity value, the dividend yield is at 2.2% over the market price, more than 4%. Okay, I'd like to review several figures that you know, but they're relevant. First, today the portfolio of pay is at 9.7 trillion pesos, and it's represented in an area of more than 1,139,000 square meters. And today we have 1,500 lenders, which grant the vehicle a very good diversification. Also, as I've mentioned, the topic of investors for us is an ongoing concern. Today, we have a base of investors above 6,200 institutionals, like the four ASPs, Colombia insurance companies, family offices, and corporations. And also, with the inclusion of BlackRock, today showing international investors. As to the portfolio, as you know, we acquired the commitment before our assembly that was held last year. The manager is not making new investments until the interest rates do not drop to levels that will allow us to use the acquisition mechanism. Today, the portfolio remains in proportions very similar to those that we've seen in prior calls. So shopping centers represent 40%, corporate close to 35%, logistics 16%. And as you know, we've made efforts to diversify the portfolio. And with this, the category of specialized today exceeds 5%.
As to the vacancy, which is a very relevant indicator because it demonstrates or reflects which percentage of the total portfolio is generating revenue and which is unproductive. Physical vacancy dropped 24 basis points. So it's set at 5.2%, while economic vacancy is at levels of 7.4, also dropping close to 30 basis points. As to financial indicators, it's important to say that the NOI margin increased close to 50 basis points, set at 83.22%. Similarly to the EBITDA, which is at 71.06%. In absolute values, the revenue received from January to September this year is close to 565 billion pesos, while the NOI is close to 470 billion. The EBITDA exceeds 400 billion pesos, increasing compared to the year 2023 more than 10%. As to the cash flow distributable, we distributed last year 63 billion. This year, on November 18th, this sum will reach 136 billion pesos. The dividend yield in the market regarding compared with the secondary market ascends for this year 453, while last year we were at 229. We've said that we want to continue handling both metrics of the dividend yield regarding the market price, but also the equity value. When we do it with the equity value, this year we're closing at 2.2, and for next year, we expect a substantial increase that we will be sharing with you at the end of this talk. Now let's give the floor to Andres Esquivel, our commercial manager, who will share with you the main results of the portfolio's management. Thank you, Jairo. Good day, dear investors. Next, we will have a summary of the commercial management of the portfolio. By the third quarter of the year, as Jairo said, we're still seeing very positive developments, both in the physical vacancy as in the economic vacancy. On the left-hand side graph, you can see that the physical vacancy closed at 5.21%, dropping 72 basis points compared to the quarter immediately before, and reducing 24 basis points compared to the year immediately before. Also, the economic vacancy, which is what we see on the right-hand side, ended in this third quarter at 7.44%, displaying a drop of 37 basis points compared to the quarter immediately before and 30 basis points compared to the period of the year 2023. This is thanks to two major factors. The first is retention. During the third quarter of the year, we retained more than 37,000 square meters, which so far this year, this figure ascends to 115,000 square meters, representing a retention of 96.4% of the revenue that matured in this period. On the other hand, the square meters placed for the third quarter of the year, we registered a placement of 11,500 square meters, which so far this year, this figure reaches 17,000 square meters. To have a reference here, these 17,000 square meters correspond to about 50% of the absorption that has been seen in the market of offices in Bogota in the years 22 and 2023. And if we go back a bit more pre-pandemic, this figure could be at 15% of the square meters that were absorbed by the offices market back then. This allows us then to see still a portfolio that's resilient. And thanks to its diversification by city and by category, allows us to keep showing positive results in a year that has been quite challenging. Moving on to the category of corporate assets, which is where we have the highest percentage of vacancies, or square meters available. We see a very positive development, as Haido said, thanks mainly to the negotiation that we end at Atriu. But ahead, we'll be telling you more about this. The physical vacancy of the portfolio closed at 11.70%, showing a reduction of 270 basic points compared to the quarter immediately before. However, this figure is 70 basic points higher than the same period of the year before. Remember that for the first quarter of this year, we had major vacancies of three assets, which made that curve take this peak. However, now with these placements, we are again recovering the line of vacancy that we saw before the pandemic. Also, the economic vacancy, which closed very close at 11.75%, dropped 150 basic points compared to the second quarter of 2024 and 80 basic points compared to the same period of the year before. Here, the five major transactions that we made during the third quarter and that allowed us to reach this indicator correspond first. So the placement of floors 6, 7, 8, and 9 at Atriu, representing a share of pay of 3,800 square meters. In addition, we managed the placement of 3,600 square meters with one of our clients, which is Carvajal, which is in Bogotá, Avenida Ciudad de Cali, with Calle 26. And this leaves us with a placement indicator of 50% of the area, which was restituted early in the year. In addition, and to remember the past call, we mentioned the transaction that was made with Seguros del Estado to revamp and serve the new facility at Calle 90. And transitorily, they would be moved to the Amadeus building, which is in the city of Bogota at Calle 103 with Autopista. This transaction took place this September. Their offices were given to them also through our scheme of meters at 4 with the occupation of 1,270 square meters. So in Amadeus, we have 0% vacancy and we can now begin the phase to redevelop our asset in Calle 90. Also in Medellin, we managed the placement of 460 square meters in our building of One Plaza, which allows us also to have an occupation of 100%. And at the Rivanna building, the placement of 300 square meters in commercial facilities. And here only we have a vacancy of 400 square meters of the commercial vacant facilities, which are in the first floor. So as we can see, we have a very positive performance in corporate. We expect that among the 18 prospects that we're working with currently, which represent more than 57,000 square meters, we can, by the end of the year, close a couple of more transactions to improve these indicators more. Something important to mention, also, we always show you in these calls that in the graphs, you can see the trends, or especially the indicators of physical vacancies in the market. However, we depend on third parties to obtain this information, and unfortunately, this information for this period has not been obtained by the companies in charge of preparing these reports. Moving to our commercial category, we see a very stable performance, both in physical vacancy as in economic vacancy. The physical vacancy ended at 4.64%, increasing 60 basic points compared to the quarter immediately before, but dropping 18 basic points compared to the same period in 2023. These processes are entirely normal
within the absorption of the square meters that we have in our portfolio of shopping centers. And specifically, the economic vacancy had an increase of 164 basic points compared to the quarter immediately before, and of 40 basic points compared to the year 2023. This is basically because of the performance of the sales of our shopping centers, or the execution both of revenue as of those vacancies. It's at 97% of the performance of our shopping centers. However, this variable component, as you can see on the right-hand side graph, at the end of the third quarter, we're seeing a drop in sales per square meters, dropping 1.71%, while the traffic generated in our shopping centers with this indicator we're measuring, the portfolio of the shopping centers Nuestro, Jardín Plaza, Plaza Central, and Atlantis Plaza, which grew 1.97% versus the same quarter of the year before. We're optimistic that in the last quarter of this year, we can recover part of that gap that we've been seeing in the consumption dynamics, and that we have a team that's fully prepared to try to reverse that performance that was particularly seen in the last quarter of the year. Moving on to our category of logistics, we see that the indicators of physical and economic vacancies remain practically stable versus the last quarter that we evaluated. Here, I'd like to mention that the only asset where we have vacancy corresponds to our logistic park Sitio, which is in the municipality of Tenjo, where we currently have a vacancy close to 6,000 square meters corresponding to offices, which we have from our main occupant, which is Siemens. However, it's also important to mention, as you can see on the right-hand side, that we managed retentions in the year of close to 45,000 square meters, where we highlight the renovation of 80% of the contracts with Siemens, which correspond to 39,300 square meters. Also, we renovated the warehouse of Fastmoda for 3,300 meters and the operator Magnum for 1,900 square meters in the city of Cali. Now let's move to our category of hospitality and specialized. On the upper left graph, you can see the trends of occupation of our hospitality asset, CDU, in the city of Bogota, which is the darkest orange line, where you can see that the performance of the occupation level in the year, or already with the tuitions of the second semester, was stabilized at 88%, showing a marginal variation of 3% compared with the occupation average of last year. This performance is within what we estimated. We know that there are challenges in this category but we've been able to identify opportunities to remain with the highest occupation levels. And also our asset Boho in the city of Cali, which has an availability of 344 beds for students, we, for the second semester of the year, improved the occupation at 100 basic points from 54 to 64%. This asset has also been performing as expected, and we believe that there are several improvements that will be implemented for the first semester of 2025. Moving on to our hotel Cala Blanca, which is in Barú, we see a performance for the third quarter of the year that's quite positive, reaching a level of the highest occupation level that we've had since we opened the hotel at 66%, exceeding widely the average of hotel occupation in Cartagena, which is close to 55% in average. And this leads us all to have the highest revenue that we've had per quarter in the year, above 5.4 billion pesos. Now let's look at the graph on the right-hand side. There you can see the composition of the occupation of our specialized assets in health. Our main client is Carrollton Group, with a total rentable area of 29,700 square meters. And this is 60% medical centers and close to 35% in prepaid medicine. In this portfolio, we haven't had any novelty whatsoever. And the specialized assets, which are set in the cities of Cali, Popayan, and Bogota, also present full normality in their occupation. Lastly, our specialized asset for education issues, which is 100% for SESTE, presents no novelty at the end of this quarter. And with this, we end the summary of the commercial management of the portfolio. Thank you so much to all the investors. Thank you, Andres. On slide 16, we can see the performance of the revenue, of the operating profit, or NOI, the EBITDA, and the accounts receivable. Beginning with revenue, the third quarter of 2024 generated 188 billion pesos, 7.6% above what was seen in that same period in 2023. And when you evaluate the entire year, it was 564 billion pesos, 10.4% above that of 2023. In terms of operating profit or NOI, the quarter showed a result of 155 billion pesos, close to 9% above the same period of the year before. And so far this year, 469 billion pesos, or 11.1% compared to the same period of 2023. So this gives us a margin NOI of 83.2% so far this year, or 82.9% for the quarter. It's important to highlight that this performance was given because of several factors. The readjustment of the leases because of inflation that closes a vacancy, efficiencies in the operation of the real estate portfolio. In EBITDA, we can see that in the third quarter of 2024, the result of more of 131 billion pesos, up 8.7% compared to the same quarter of 2023. And so far this year, 401 billion pesos, 10.8% compared to the same period in 2023, which allows us to end the third quarter of 2024 with an EBITDA margin of 71.1%, and for the specific quarter of 70%. It's important to highlight that in these figures, we include the effects of changes in commissions that were made in the assembly held in December 2023. Moving to accounts receivable, the turnover measured in days remain at stable levels, 2 or 3 days, and that gross accounts receivable increased to 14 billion pesos because of the reorganization of the payment of one of the lenders in the corporate category, which is expected to be received in the fourth quarter. Moving to slide 17, we see the financial expense and the cost of the debt on the upper left-hand side graph, where we see it for the fourth quarter of 23, the cost of financing the vehicle was 14.08%. And by the end of the third quarter of 2024, was 11%, down more than 300 basic points in the cost of financing, which allowed to have, or better, to move from a net financial expense in the fourth quarter of 2023 of 110 billion pesos to 92 billion pesos in the third quarter of 2024. When you look at the indexation of the debt per type of indicator, we can see that for the third quarter of 2024, 18.7% was at fixed rate, 54.7% tied to the CPI, and 26.6% tied to IBR. It's important to mention, as we said in the previous talk, during the second and third quarter of this year, innovations or movements in the indebtedness portfolio were made above 1.8 billion pesos, with rates below the IBR plus 2 points. And we also took a major step of IBR to IPC. As to the size or the nominal of the debt, it remained stable compared to the second quarter at 3.21 billion pesos. Regarding the level of the indebtedness, the fourth quarter of 2023 ended with a debt of the assets, or as a proportion of assets, of 34.08%, and ended the third quarter of 2024 with a proportion of 33.21%. This is with a portfolio that focuses 81.05% on long term and 18.95% in the short term. This allows us to have a reduction of 87 basic points at the level of indebtedness when comparing the result of the third quarter with the end of 2023. Moving to the development of the markets of capital, we see that the price of the title of pay in the secondary market has increased 9% so far this year, and the average day of trade in these 9 months reached 3.3 billion pesos, which leaves pay as the eighth species of most transaction in the stock market of Colombia. When you evaluate the average of the volume transacted in the last 12 months, it's 2.7 billion pesos. And when you compare 22 and 23, 500 million and more than 700 million, we see how we've been multiplying the volume of trade. And this is what Jairo indicated before in terms of the revenue of pay in the stock index and increasing our trade. So with this, we end this section of providing the results of pay in the third quarter of 2024. And now we will begin our Q&A session. Thank you. As of now, we will begin the Q&A session. Please write down your comments through the table of questions that's available on the blackboard. To begin the Q&A session of this conference of results of the third quarter of 2024, we'd like to remind our investors, as we did in our prior session, we will be gathering the questions that arrive similar to each other to try to address the biggest amount of questions. In this case, Francisco Puerta asks, the corporate vacancy show that the corporate vacancy is the highest since 2022. Could you tell us why this vacancy is so persistent? Andres and Jairo, if you could help us, please, with this answer. Thank you so much, Francisco, for your question. Here it's important to clarify that the average of vacancy of the corporate category before the pandemic was an average close to 10%. For the first quarter of 2024, we saw a very particular return of three assets, which gave way to this peak or this growth in an average close to 14% of the physical vacancy, where we had Eloy in Bogota with an area close to 6,000 square meters. Also, I'm talking about the restitution of 6,000 square meters from Carabajal. And this asset also said in Bogota. And third, a change in the methodology to calculate the physical vacancy in one of the mega assets that's also in Bogota. This asset had a coverage since the acquisition with a preferential flow that we had until October of this year. This means that the typical reception of these three assets created this curve. Also, having Atrio, which, as Heidel mentioned early on, is a reference in the market offices in Bogota and represents a major percentage. This vacancy has made that challenge to decrease these percentages becoming even much more difficult for this year. But as we confirmed with the closure of the 5 transactions and the prospectus that we have, we expect to return to the average levels that we had in the market next year. Heido, would you like to compliment anything? Thank you, Andres. No, simply like to say that we cannot lose sight that in the past 2 or 3 years, we've slowly seen the return of companies to offices. Remember, after the COVID, there was a very clear trend of online working. So several organizations remain with that scheme, that hybrid, for a long time. And obviously, this led to have demands of physical spaces of offices to decrease. So, of course, we see the physical and economic vacancy in the past years recorded a high percentage compared to years before. Thank you, Heidel and Andres. We're asked Gustavo Godoy and very similarly Javier Villegas, which are the properties in which you have disinvested by amount of purchase of sale? Are any estimates that you can share with us? Thank you, Daniel. As we mentioned in previous calls, early this year, we managed to disinvest in a warehouse in Jumbo. It's close to 4,000 square meters built, plus a patio. It was sold close to 9,000 million pesos, and it had an acquisition cost less than 7.2 billion. Then in July and August, we sold an office within Frontera Building in Bogota on Avenida Novena. This is a small office close to 110 square meters, and it was sold at 1.5 billion pesos above the book value. And the most relevant transaction that we're formalizing this November is a distribution center in Bogota with a built area close to 19,000 square meters. And as we said in the introduction, we will celebrate soon a purchasing promise of a useful area of close to 19,000 square meters for 60 billion pesos, when it's only close to 80 billion, but in books, it's only 60 billion, which is a profit above 33%. And also we have to keep in mind that we protect the interests of the investors with this, because we've made the first 98% of the book of value, the second 100%, and the third 133% of the value that we have recorded. Remember that the value recorded in books is not the value that you buy. It's the value of the last appraisal made, adjusted by inflation. And still having that demand, we managed to be above that equity value. Thank you, Heidel. Ms. Maria Rivera and Mr. Mario Nervais ask, at what rate did you refinance the new debt? Here it's important then to mention that as far as this year, we've been making movements in the portfolio of indebtedness at rates, as we've said before, of IBR plus 2 points or below those levels, which were rates that we didn't see before since 2021. And this has allowed us today to end September with a financing cost of over 300 basic points below the cost of financing at the end of December. Next question from Javier Villegas. Could you give us a guide of the CapEx of maintenance and investment for the remaining of 2024 and 2025? Heido, could you please, would you mind if we answer this together? Normally, in these past years, we've had levels of CapEx or values of investment in terms of maintenance of assets close to 50 or 60 billion pesos. Specifically for the year 2024, we have a value close to 50 billion and a bit higher for 2025, close to 53 billion pesos. Let's move on to the next question from Mr. Francisco Puerta. As far as the specialized category like Sanitas, how could you hit the occupation of this building if the health reform is approved? Andres, could you help us with this answer? Thank you, Francisco, for your question. As we mentioned before, in the category of specialized of hospitality, in which we have Sanitas, today, Carrollton Group has 29,700 square meters with us, representing 3.18% of total revenue of the portfolio. So proactively, we talked with the Carrollton Group when we saw in the media the chance of the reform. And proactively, as I said, we made the migration of the contracts that were under the category of EPS to IPS or medical centers. And that allowed us to have a better coverage with those possible risks of the reform. Because we know that the business units that would be hit by the reform would solely be the EPS. Today, of those 29,700 square meters, the EPS solely represent 3% of the Carrollton portfolio. Also, it's important to mention that the performance of the accounts receivable remains within the historical indicators, with a very low turnover. Today, we have no balance, or within the conversations held with this company, has there been an insinuation or we've touched possible restitutions? Instead, one of the assets that we have vacant in Bogota, specifically in the sector of Puente Aranda, the company is reviewing it and surely will have positive news for you in coming months. Also important here to remind you that the locations that Carrollton Group has with us are quite strategic, and the characteristics of these assets, because of their versatility in the worst case scenarios, would be easily, let's say, convertible to other categories, even having an opportunity to even improve their cash flows. So we have peace of mind with this. Thank you. We're asked by Catherine Ortiz. Why does it make sense to make a spinoff at such a high discount? And we have a similar question made by Javier Rondon and Maria Jose Patiño. Heido, could you help us with the answer? Thank you, Daniel. There are several considerations to this question, which, as Daniela said, several of the investors made. First, we're making things rigorously. We are making presentations to different investors and receiving their feedback. Why do we think that making an issuance for the first quarter of next year would have clear benefits for the vehicle and its investors? First, which would be the conditions. We're thinking an amount close to 500 billion pesos. We're budgeting that 100% of the resources would be used to pay debt. And third, we think that it's convenient to get out with the market price. And we're thinking about mechanisms like taking the average of the transactions of the last 90 days. Why does it make sense to pay debt? First, since 2021 till today, there's a sustained growth of their interest rates, not only in Colombia, but globally. And it all indicates that we're starting to see decreases, but we won't reach the same levels that we had before we had this inflation growth and increased interest rates. This means the cost of capital globally increased. So it really makes sense or to have a capital structure within the vehicle that's close to its 25% and at a range between 30 and 35. So that's the first reason, to have resources that will allow us to prepay the debt that's most expensive, decreasing the KD, and obviously having a significant savings in the service of the debt. Second, and this is connected to the first, it improves the profile of the risk of the vehicle. Today, we have two indicators that are very relevant in the next levels. First is the relation of the debt EBITDA. Today, it's more than 5 times, and with this operation, we would make this indicator drop to 4%. And the second indicator is the ICI, or the coverage of EBITDA to interest expenses. Today, we're close to 1.4, but with this transaction, we could go above 2.5, almost double. So there's some good improvement in the indicators of the vehicle that would lead to an improvement of the cost of the debt. So the banks and the capital markets in future issuance should recognize that and lower risk, and that should mean a lower rate. Also, we have to remember something that's very relevant, and that it, buy in its prospect, includes the right of preference. What does this mean? That every time we make an issue, especially a discount in the first round or in the first, first round, we offer the certificates to current investors, and solely the portion that's not exercised is offered in a second round to this general market. We also consider that in the medium long-term basis an issue, first we'll put pay in the capitals market. Remember, we have been a recurrent issuer in almost 18 years of our history. We've made 11 emissions of equity and 2 of bonds. So going back to the market should give a benefit to the poor performance in the secondary market and create an impact that's positive in the liquidity of the certificate. Thank you. Next question from Ms. Olga Lucia Terron. What can we expect regarding the improved profitability of our investment in the next years? And this question is very similar to that of Emilio Echavarria. Thank you, Daniel. Okay, this topic is very important. You remember in all of these talks this year, we've been reminding you how in 2023, we had a very complicated year to generate cash flow. And this is not because we dropped our revenue, because of the increased interest rates, which led a good part of the entire flow of the portfolio would be destined to pay the obligations with the financial sector. 2024 has been a year of transition. We began with the cost of debt closer above 14%. Today, we're at 11%. So we've had a decrease of 300 basic points, which allows us in 2024, our dividend yield given to the investors will exceed 130 billion pesos, representing a dividend yield close to 4. 2025, this is why the question is so relevant. We will see this trend consolidating. Interest rates will keep dropping and we'll have an increase in our lease contracts. So our projections, which will be closing with the official budget in February, will have in 2025 very good results. So the dividend yields, remember, we have to see them grow. Last year, they were 63,000. This year, under 36. And this next year, it's 240 to 250 billion pesos. So our dividend yield for 2025 at market price would be close to 9.9%. And if we do it at equity value, we would be at above 4%, which is similar to the levels we saw before COVID and the increased interest rates. But the good news doesn't stop here. We are optimistic because although there is uncertainty still in the country because of political purposes and interest rates haven't dropped enough, remember, Banco de la República or Central Bank made a decrease last week, and we're at less at 10%. And this is because of the global decrease of interest rates, and this always ends with the valuation of real estate assets. It's a fundamental of real estate business. The lower the interest rates, the more value of the properties. So while we show the positive information of the results, and we add the trend of the interest rates, surely we will see a recovery of our shares. So both components of profitability of the investor, which is cash and cash, and the valuation of the certificates for 2025 and 2026 have a very favorable setting. Thank you, Haidu. And with that answer that you gave us, we'll join it to a question made, or a petition instead, made by Carlos Arango. Could you please give us a message that those saw our investment drop in June 21, and we're still far from that original figure? So, Haidu, could you give us a message regarding the recovery of all the vehicle's variables?
Sure, sure. Although we've seen that the certificate has presented a significant recovery, we're not happy with it. Obviously, the securities market has many variables that have an impact on the value of shares. One of them is the interest, but we also have political uncertainty. So we cannot guarantee a result on the secondary. But what time has shown is that we have done the task to create conditions so that our certificate in the secondary market can recover its value and increase its liquidity. And this is very relevant and will contribute to improve the certificate. As Daniel mentioned in his presentation, in 2023, the daily average of transactions was close to 700 million. This year, so far, it's more than 3 billion pesos. And this is a very important indicator, which, along with what I mentioned, should contribute to recover the value of the share in the market. Thank you, Haidu. Mr. Mario Narvaez is asking, I'm very worried with the high indebtedness. We hope that the reduction of interest rates does improve the yields of pay. And I'm going to add this to another question. The fact that the debt is 50% in IPC and the indexation of the leases also keep the IPC, doesn't that eliminate the possibility of increasing the margin in a scenario where the rates are dropping? To answer these questions, very important to keep in mind the flexibility of managing the portfolio of indebtedness of pay. The 3.2 billion pesos that we have today in debt, of which 884 billion are in bonds and the rest in bank loans. The part of bank loans have a facility of execution and flexibility, which has allowed us to capture the efficiencies in the financial market. For instance, when most of the debt goes from IBR to IPC, we made it, keeping in mind that the indicator of IBR remained at levels close to 10%, while the data of inflation published by DANE month by month showed reductions of 50 and 100 basic points each of the months. This type of flexibility in the dynamic management of the indebtedness portfolio allows us to capture those efficiency in the financing costs. And today leaves us at the end of September with a reduction of more than 300 basic points in the cost of the debt.
Here we have a last question from Mr. Jose Antonio Emiliani. How will you distribute the amount of this investment obtained to date? Thank you so much for your question. This topic was discussed in our last advisory committee, which, as you know, is the highest body that makes decisions in the vehicle structure. We will be presenting the final proposal in our next committee in November, but we have analyzed so far and is that the value of the resources that will be received this year will be deposited to pay debt. And this goes hand in hand with the previous questions and also with the issuance of shares to obtain resources. And we consider that although the level of 33% is obviously within the parameters that enable the prospect of the vehicle, and that regarding the international market, a real estate vehicle could even have higher leverages, we deem that because of the levels of interest rates in Colombia, it is convenient, this decrease. So our recommendation for management for the advisory committee is that the resources from the disinvestments should be used to pay financial obligations, and we will obviously pay the most expensive ones. Danielle already talked about our debt portfolio, which is close to 3.2 billion pesos. We have an average cost of debt to close to 11%, but there are some liabilities that are above 14%. So the liabilities that would be paid are obviously the most expensive loans. Thank you, Haidu. Mr. Jorge Ich and other investors have asked us to remind them how much is the dividend or unit and when will it be paid. So as Haidu announced just a moment, the dividend yield that will be paid November 18th is 1,052 pesos per share. So, are we out of questions? No, we do have an additional question. We're asked by an investor, Mr. Nestor Jaramillo. Does PAY keep in mind to make investments in the future in other countries, neighbors like Panama, Peru, to not depend solely on the real estate market of Colombia? Haidu, could you answer this question? Thank you, Daniel. Thus, prospect of PAY in this topic is very restrictive and frames that our admissible investments should be exclusively limited to Colombia. To make an amendment, we had to submit it to all of the investors in an assembly, taking them the recommendations and showing the pros and cons. Although it is true that it would generate a diversification, it would expose, again, the vehicle to certain risk that it doesn't have today. Because depending on where we want to grow, we could have exposure to currencies that are not the Colombian pesos and tax things that we have to study. So today, we do not keep that in mind. The prospect does not allow us to make investments outside of Colombia. What we are promoting, the diversification of the base of investors. So we don't only want local investors, but to reach global investors, such as the case of BlackRock. And as we commented early on, we're making presentations of the vehicle in Chile and Peru to get them to know us for a future consolidation in which PAY could be traded in those markets and could create major benefits to increase the investor base. Thank you, Haidu. And with this, we end the Q&A session. And with this conference of results of the third quarter of 2024. We'd like to thank you all for joining us, and we hope that you join us in our next conference calls, which will take place in February 2025. Thank you all, and have a nice day.